Pastor Jason Cooley here with OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. And I'm here today with Brother Andrew Bicey. Brother Bicey, how you doing?
Good to be here.
It is good to have Brother Bicey here. Brother Bicey is a member of Old Paths Baptist Church, has been for about 7 years. And yep. Isn't that about right?
Yep.
About 7 years?
Yep.
Okay, about 7 years. And Brother Bicey is usually in charge, him and Luke, behind the scenes of doing all the audio, and that's how you guys hear all the sermons that we put online and everything like that. He goes through and does all that work, and him and I have been talking a lot about the local church issue, and we've been talking a lot about, you know, this virtual church idea that's out there, and it's a big topic really to cover. But we're going to try to cover it and condense it into a few things today. And I think this virtual church movement that's out there, you could call it the online church. It is not a physical local assembly of called out, sanctified, set apart believers that are baptized, that are coveted together, which we're going to talk about the definition of what a church is according to the scriptures. It's not that. What it is this kind of online group, so to speak, that come together from all walks of life with zero accountability.
That's right.
Nobody knows what they're doing, right, Brother Bicey?
That's right.
Nobody knows, like, where they come from.
If they're even real.
If they're even real. I mean, you know, half the people on Facebook and other social media outlets, the movement is fueled by social media.
Right.
Now, give me some of you, Brother Bicey, why don't I ask you this question? What has your perspective been over the last couple years? Because you were very apprehensive about even being on social media for the longest time.
Right.
And then you saw that there is a real battle for the hearts and souls of people out there on social media, and Satan's using it. Give me kind of a rough idea from your perspective of how you see this social media virtual church type of movement. Now, you come from a unique perspective. Mm-hmm. The reason I'm asking you this is because you come from a perspective of growing up in fundamental Baptist churches. You were saved as a teenager.
Right.
But your experience has always been in a local visible assembly.
Right.
So when you see this virtual church movement out there, what are your thoughts on it from your perspective on what you've seen?
Well, back in the day when I was not on Facebook for a long time. I mean, we didn't do much interaction on computers at all. And I was always apprehensive because what Facebook does is you're basically letting people into your personal life. And we felt basically that, you know, people would know too much, or people are posting photographs and things like that. So I was always wanting to distance myself from that wave that was going. And I didn't, at that time, I didn't look at it as a spiritual connection or trying to help people. But the idea of a computer screen and an iPad or whatever to watch church and be a part of a church service long distance is just foreign to me, you know. And until we started preparing for the show, I didn't realize how big of a problem and a vice it is to many Christians across the country.
Well, yeah, because see, you came at a time into this ministry before we had that,
right? Yep.
And it was basically, I had sermons on a place called sermon.net, and I just had some sermons out there. Nobody had ever heard of this ministry.
Right.
Nobody had ever heard of Pastor Cooley. Nobody ever heard of Old Paths Baptist Church besides people that were here locally and everything like that. And you heard our sermons and everything like that. The Lord led you here from our sending church and everything like that. And that's how you kind of got here. But once this thing kind of took off as far as people listening and helping others and everything like that, you know, you quickly start to see some holes in the philosophy of those that hold to that, you know, that virtual church.
Right.
You know, it's not, we found out the hard way in a lot of ways.
Right.
Where that leads.
Right.
You know, and, you know, since that, I think because of like the some of the different stances, some of the things that happened to me, I kind of pulled away from social media a little bit. In the sense of, I always had my sermons out there, but I took my family stuff down because people were attacking my family. I mean, you know, reposting stuff with my kids and all kinds of crazy stuff. So I took all that stuff off of there. You know, but it's like this whole different world out there is what social media is and what this virtual church movement is. I see people saying, well, I'm getting ready to start church. I'm getting ready to go to church. I'm like, well, where are they going? And they're going online.
They're logging in.
Yeah. I mean, I remember somebody coming and saying to me, they sent me a message and they said, you know, I have a problem with my church and, you know, could you help me? Could you give me some wisdom or some guidance in the area? I was like, sure. And little did I know, they were talking about an online church. Mm-hmm. And they said, I don't want to be a church hopper. I'm like, how could you
be an online church hopper?
Yeah, an online. I'm serious. Like a
changing
virtual
the channel.
A virtual church hopper. I don't want to go to another church. I don't want to go to another, you know. Hey, sound like a bell, a church bell going off. I don't want to go to a virtual church, be a virtual church hopper. I'm like, well, that's kind of weird.
How many could you visit in one day?
Yeah, I was like, what does that even mean? Like, where is people's minds on this this topic? But anyway, so this is like the experience that we've had with it. And then we've had people that have actually joined our literal church here. Our
physical church,
yeah, here. From being online, but they saw the need that I can't stay where I'm at. Right. I can't stay doing. And by the way, this is not a call to arms to have like a ton of people come to join Old Paths Baptist Church. The Lord has blessed our church. If the Lord sends people here, we praise God. If he doesn't, we praise God. We're doing just fine. God has blessed us so much.
The body is complete.
It is complete and whole the way it is. And if God sends somebody else, then that just...
to be part of the body.
It just blesses us even more. But, I mean, it is complete and whole. Anyway, but the point is that we had people come and join the church because they got it. They's like, you know what, we're not... You know, life is not about virtual reality.
Right.
It's about being around people and having interactions with people. And, you know, living my life with people, not just on the other side of a computer screen and thinking that's the way you want to live our life. And I think that's a setup. I think all of that is nothing more than a setup for the Antichrist system, that beast system that, you know, I talked about chatbots and all these other things. I've talked about all these other things that are going on. They want to use end times chatbots to deal with people, VR, virtual reality to deal with death and everything else. And all this stuff is a virtual mindset that is coming. And now you can't virtually serve the Lord like that. You know, you might have an online teacher that you like and follow, and you might like this ministry, and hey, we love you, we care for you, we want you to do right, we want you to get into a church and everything else like that. But, you know...
And then we don't produce things with those out there in internet land.
No.
Like we said before, we're the meat and potatoes are for the assembly. You're going to get the leftovers as we put them online. And if it's a blessing, hey, praise the Lord.
Right, and I used to do things differently. I used to produce a lot of stuff, put it online all the time, and I don't do that as much anymore.
With them in mind.
Right, and I don't do that anymore because the Lord taught me and showed me that's not right to do, and you've got to be... You know, your focus has to be where it needs to be, and you can be a blessing to other people out there, which is what we want to do.
Amen.
So anyway, there's just a lot of things out there that, you know, in this virtual church world. But the first thing, I guess, to set this up, so the reason we're doing this is this. Number one, I believe the virtual church movement is an anti-local church movement.
Amen.
I believe that it is absolutely against the local New Testament church. That's what I believe. I believe that it has a problem with the local New Testament church.
That's right.
I believe it acts, these teachers out there that don't know you, they don't know anything about you, they don't know what you're doing, you have no discipline, no order, no structure, you just listen online. And also, the other thing that I've learned about that is, it's anti-local church, and then you look at a local church and you think you know what's going on at that local church by just the sermons that you hear all the time. But you don't know what's going on there. You don't know how that pastor actually pastors people. You don't know how he deals with people. You don't know any of those things or how the people interact with one another.
Right.
You don't have any clue about that.
It's totally one-dimensional.
Right. Until you're dealing with people.
Yep.
Until you're dealing with people personally, one-on-one, or in an assembly, in a body, you don't have a clue. You just think by what you hear from the sermons. Preaching is one aspect of the ministry. It is one aspect of a church. You say, well, I'm going to church. No, you've listened to sermons online. That's not going to church. You don't interact with that body. And we'll get to that.
Right.
So anyway, I believe it's an anti-local church movement, the virtual church movement. I believe it is designed to keep people out of the local church.
And do we want to explain what we mean by virtual? Because there's a few definitions. Is it just watching a church live stream? Is it watching a recorded service? Or is it actually, like we'll talk about, a website where there's a virtual church where you go to virtual Sunday school, virtual singing, and so on?
And I would say it's all of the above.
Right, okay.
Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with listening to sermons all over the place. That's why I put them online, because I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think it's helpful.
And I think a lot of people that watch a service online aren't saying they're in church, but though some do.
Right. But others say, well, it's time for church. I'm going to church. And this might upset you out there, okay? But you know what? I can't pastor you if you live in Pittsburgh.
Right.
All right? I can't pastor you if you live somewhere else. I'm not going to pretend like I'm your pastor. Because I'm not. Your pastor out there. I'm the pastor of Old Paths Baptist Church. In Northfield, Minnesota, and the congregation that's here. Now, that doesn't mean I don't want to help you at all if you're out there, or I'm not kind to other Christians, or I don't love them, or I don't care. But listen, I'm not your pastor. I can't be your pastor. I don't see you every day. I don't interact with you every day like that. You're not a member of this assembly. Now, we do have members that are a part of this assembly that live farther away, like Brother Jim. He lives all the way in Texas, and his family, they are members here, and we are doing a work there and seeing the Lord. You know what? I do deal with Jim every day. I talk to Jim every day. We fellowship. He comes up here. He comes to the assembly. You know, I mean, so he is a part of that, and he is under that authority, and he submits himself to the authority of that church. And just like in Bible times, which we're still in, by the way, just like those Bible times, you know, when you're starting a work with people, and we'd love to start works out there with families out there and gather those people into churches. That's how our old Baptist forefathers did it. And that's what we're doing in Texas with him. But you know what? He's submitted to that authority.
Right.
He's submitted to the local church authority. He's submitted to following God's order and saying, you know what? I want to see a church planted. He's submitted to doing it the right way. And I can pastor people like that.
Right. Yep.
You know, but just not knowing you, not have anything to do with your lives, not praying with you, not praying for you, not being involved in anything, or I can't pastor somebody like that.
Right.
I could pastor people that are farther away because my forefathers did it.
Right.
But they were under that authority and they accepted that leadership. But you know what people do in online church? Here's what they do. If they don't like something that preacher says, they just move on to the next guy.
Right. Yep. Yep.
You know? But in a real church, when you don't like something the preacher says, you got to deal with it.
Right.
You either got to get right with God, you got
to
pray for the pastor.
Eyeball.
Yeah. Or you go and talk to the pastor.
Right.
A lot of times people don't do that because, number one, usually they're wrong.
Right.
They don't want to talk to them. And if they are right, sometimes pastors aren't approachable. But you know what?
Right.
If you sit down with the scriptures and you show where somebody's wrong and you know you're right about it, according to the Bible, then you can have that discussion. So anyway, but there is that so we're going to explain kind of the virtual church movement. We're going to explain the anti-church movement, the online church movement and things like that, that's there, and kind of talk about that. But the first thing I think it's important is that we define what the word church actually means from the scriptures. I think it's very important that we do that.
Amen.
If we don't do that, then you know what? You could say a church is whatever you want.
Right.
I preached a message a long time ago. You can go back and listen to it. It's called Defining the Word Church. Local assembly or institutional, never universal. It's not. There's never a time where that's a universal church. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18 says this, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, And upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What does the Bible mean by the word church? Well, historically, that ecclesia, that word ecclesia, has always meant an organized assembly of citizens. So even in secular teachings, Pericles, seeing them angry at the present state of things, did not call them to an assembly, an ecclesia, or another matter. There's different, in Greek writing, there's different times that word ecclesia is used. It's not used as a universal, invisible body of people out there scattered all over the world that are part of the church.
The universal church.
Yeah, that's not a universal, invisible body. Another time that's used is Demosthenes 378, 24. When after this the assembly, the ecclesia, adjourned, they came together and planned for the future. Still being uncertain, meetings and speeches of all sorts took place in the marketplace. They were afraid that an assembly, an ecclesia, would be summoned suddenly. Now that's Greek, that word ecclesia. That's what that word comes from. It's a Greek, and that's how it's used in Greek writings. I'm not going to go on and on. That could be, you can look that up or go listen to that sermon where I document it very well. But you'll see that this word, this examination of the classical Greek background, is valuable because Christ and the apostles spoke the Greek language of the day. When they used the word ecclesia, church, they did not pull the word out of thin air, but used a word that was already in use in the first century. Nor is there any indication in Scripture that they gave the word a radical new meaning that it never had before. And indeed, to make a word that means assembly signify a group of people all over the world that never assemble would be a very radical change of meaning. How could it be people all over the world that never assemble when the word means assemble?
Right.
It's just nonsense.
Right.
Okay, but that's the problem, though. See, that's where we get this. Nobody wants to admit this because, see, that's, listen, I want to say this to you. The backbone of the universal, or the backbone of the online virtual church is the universal invisible church doctrine. That is the backbone of it. Without that, nobody would think they have any scriptural reasons to not assemble together with the saints in a local New Testament
church. And where
does
that come from? Rome.
Yeah, it comes from Rome. It comes from Augustinianism.
That's right.
That's where it comes from. The word is used in an institutional sense in the Word of God. Sometimes in the Scripture, the word church is used as a generic noun or in an institutional sense. It says, Ephesians 5:23 says, Christ is the head of the church. That does not prove the existence of a universal invisible church any more than the husband is the head of a wife or the head of a woman is the man. Establishes that there is a single universal invisible husband. Doesn't mean that.
Right.
I mean, well, it says, well, the husband is the head of the wife. That means there's a universal husband out there.
We're in trouble.
Right. We're in a lot of trouble. Invisible man made up of all individual husbands or men scattered all over the world. Is that what that means? Absolutely not. Rather, these verses employ the word church as a generic noun, as a reference to any or every particular church. So it says an institution.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is the head of the church. What does that mean? Christ is the head of every church. An individual assembly of believers, right? The common category of the generic noun focuses on the kind. It's speaking of what kind it is, the class traits of it, or the class as a whole. I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Christ built the first church in Jerusalem. In Christ's statement in Matthew 16:18, that he will build up his congregation, the word ecclesia is used as a generic noun. It is true for every individual church, but it does not prove that every congregation is somehow one large congregation that never congregates.
Right.
You know,
how do you invisibly congregate?
Exactly. And you know what? Somebody has to teach you that.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have to imply that. You don't learn that from the text, that there's a universal invisible body of believers all over the world. That's just not there.
Right.
Okay. The difference between Christ's ecclesia, church, congregation, assembly, and other congregations and assemblies is not that they are some radically different thing. The difference is in my, not in the word church organization. So the first, you know, the first use of the word in the Bible is as an assembly as well. Matthew 18:17. Look at this. And if ye shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Now, obviously, this is a very visible local church. They didn't have the internet back then, so he wasn't telling it to the world. It says tell it to the church, not the world. Not post it online. Right?
Right, yep.
I think it's very specific here. How could you tell it to people you couldn't even reach or see?
Right.
Just because technology has changed doesn't mean God's church has changed or supposed to change.
Right.
You know, a very visible local church must be told about church discipline, not some universal invisible church. The phrase church here refers to whatever particular church the people in conflict are members of. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praising God and having favor with all the people in verse 47. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. He added to it because it was already there.
Amen.
It was already there before Pentecost. So we could go on and on. There's so many other verses. I'm not going to teach that completely through here. I've already done that. Now, you know, Acts chapter 12, verse number 1 says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. The context is the church at Jerusalem. Acts 12:5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Likewise, that's the church in Jerusalem. That's the context. Acts 16:5, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. That's local and visible. They're churches, they're assemblies. Okay? So on and on and on we could go. Christ Church, my church, it was a very local and visible church. Acts 19:39, but if you inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. A lawful assembly. Here is in the next reference is the same assembly of idolaters. So, but there's an assembly there. There's an ecclesia. By the way, that's what that word is, that assembly word. Again, right. It means ecclesia. So anyway, more could be said about that, but it really isn't necessary. I have been able to go through the scriptures and define every single one of the times that word church is used and show that it is a local visible assembly or it is a generic noun that is used for an institution called the church. Just like we say, the home is in trouble today.
Right.
Do we mean a universal, invisible home made up of all homes? No. Mm-hmm. We'd be very clearly, we're talking about the institution of the home.
Right.
Anyway, so I think that's simple. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's I think what happens a lot of times is the idea of the universal church is like the universal McDonald's franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever country you're in, whatever town or city you're in, you just pick your favorite one. So if you're a Baptist, you pick a Baptist church, a Lutheran, you pick a Lutheran church, and you can walk in and out as you please.
Yep.
Because you're partaking of that brand that you associate with.
Absolutely.
And it's just universal doctrine through and through.
Right. They don't see the difference in what an actual church is. I asked somebody online about that, too, one day. I asked them, you know, well, what is a church? You're bashing all these churches. What is a church? He didn't want to answer it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't care. He just wants to bash churches. That's his goal. All right. So anyway, so that kind of institutes where we stand on that from the scriptures, what we believe about that. You can go back and listen to that sermon that I did on that, and I go through word for word every time that word is used, and I think it'll be helpful to you if you need that. But now I think we should move on to virtual church. What is a virtual church? And the first thing we have here, Brother Andrew, it looks like we have...
Well, let me give the definition of virtual.
Sounds good.
Virtual here, Webster's 1828 says, potential, having the power of acting or of invisible efficacy without the material or sensible part. Being in essence or effect, not in fact, as the virtual presence of a man in his agent or substitute. So virtual means it's a invisible sign. It's an invisible, non-tangible, and we're speaking electronically here, of course.
Or we could call it the electronic church.
Electronic church, the online church, the internet church,
right?
The web church. It's not real, but it's a an efficacy or a picture through a video, through a screen, you're looking at it, like looking through a window. But the virtual church.
So that's the definition of what a virtual church is. Now, let's look at this article. Can Facebook replace church?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I want to share something before mm-hmm. we get into this. I'm trying to explain to you the dangers of this. There is a danger, number one, in having no accountability. There is an listen, I have met the most biggest monsters you could ever imagine online. Now, mm-hmm. I know there's some in churches, too.
Mm-hmm.
But in a church, if it's ordered correctly, you'll discipline out the monsters.
Right.
We've had to do that here.
Right.
We've had some lions, some tigers, and some bears. Oh, my. Yeah. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Some blood-sucking vampires.
Right. Right.
Right?
Yep.
And when the light shone, when the word of God shone, the light shone, guess what? The vampires have to scatter. They got to leave.
Yep.
They got to get out of Dodge real quick.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Yeah, amen. They should.
That's God's protection.
Amen. And God has protected this church and made it thrive by the grace of God. All right. So anyway, there's a danger there with this. Mm-hmm. Listen, folks, if you are a shut-in, we love you.
Right.
We'll send you free CDs. We'll do whatever we can for you. We send free CDs to anybody who wants them anyway. Okay. We pay the postage. All right. If you're sincere, you know, then we want to help you. But the thing is that, you know, if there are people who just don't want to go to church, you don't mm-hmm. want to be a part of a church. You don't want to be a member of a local New Testament church because you don't want accountability.
Right. Able-bodied people with jobs, money in their bank account.
Yeah.
They can move. They can go. They can cross the street. They can go across town. They can go to the next village next door.
But they don't seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto them. They seek whatever else is before that.
Right.
But the online church movement gives people a front. They can be pharisaical and act whatever way they want to, act like they're real on there, and nobody's going to call them about it. Nobody's going to say a word to them about it. Nobody's going to challenge them.
Right.
And nobody really can. And when they do get challenged, they'll block you. They'll get rid of you. They'll do whatever they have to. And they don't, because they don't have to answer for it. They don't want to answer.
Yeah, instead of being brought before the elders of the church or the pastor or the authority, they can just block you or, you know, change the channel. I like to say change the channel because that's about what it is. Like the we were talking about earlier, the infancy stages of this virtual church started with television.
Mm-hmm.
And where people could be in the comfort of their own home, make up any excuse they want, or be a legitimate shut-in, or they couldn't physically get out, and they could watch services on television.
Yep,
in the early days.
That's right, and that was the beginning of that.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's no accountability for them. They just send their offering in to Benny Hinn or Jerry Falwell or any of those other guys out there. And you know what? They don't have to live for God. Nobody's checking up on them. Nobody's listen. Jesus Christ died for the church.
Mm-hmm.
He shed his blood for the church. There's a reason for that, and there's a reason for that accountability that's there, that purpose. Facebook's not going to fulfill that purpose. After this, after we read through this article, or sometimes this, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4 and show you the purpose of the church.
Amen.
And you can't fulfill that purpose online.
Right.
That's not going to be fulfilled in a virtual church setting. Facebook can't do that for you. My goodness, I have met the biggest fakes you can ever find on Facebook.
Yeah, fake book, like Brother Jim fake calls book. It.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Amen. All right, so let's get into reading this article here. Can Facebook replace church? During a rally for Facebook users last month, Mark Zuckerberg laid out his dreams for the future of his social media behemoth. As the websites reach 2 billion users, Zuckerberg is turning his attention to the next frontier, building online communities. In Zuckerberg's mind, the days of institutions like churches and little leagues are over. Using Facebook's new artificial intelligence software, the social media giant can organize its users into groups that will serve the same purpose. You know, you don't need what do you need that personal interaction for? You know how awkward that is to go meet people and be around people and people to see your flaws and who you really are. And, you know, we'll replace that with Facebook, where you can where you can Photoshop your picture. You could be a 300-pound fat dude and make yourself look like some skinny little chick and be a pervert out there and act like you're a girl or a woman. And you could be any kind of pervert you want, any kind of Christian you want. You don't need that church anymore.
You don't even know if these people are real unless you meet them in person.
Right.
They put on any facade they want. They could look like some popular movie actor. You'll never know who or what they look like.
Absolutely not.
Yep.
He was right about one thing. Christians are leaving their traditional brick-and-mortar churches in droves. Well, let me just stop there and say that we don't have a brick-and-mortar church. Right. We have a local assembly, ecclesia, which is an assembly of baptized believers that have covenanted together to serve the Lord and to edify one another. Okay? Yeah. And we'll get to that in a little while here. But what he's saying is the buildings. And I've heard Brian Denlinger and all those other people try to put the Babel buildings. Well, we don't have a steeple. We meet in some meeting. You know, God doesn't care what brick and mortar you meet in.
Well, and that's
or
the
if
other.
If you meet in the open air or if you meet anywhere.
And that's the other misnomer. People equivalate church, or I'm going to church and they see a building with a steeple. But church is the people.
Right.
The church is the people, and that's when most people don't know.
Right.
They don't know that when we meet as a church, we meet in a park, we're a church.
Yeah, we met out at the state park.
Yep.
And we were Old Paths Baptist Church. Was there. That's why this place is called the Meeting House.
Amen.
Of Old Paths Baptist Church, because the building is not Old Paths Baptist Church.
Amen.
It is the Meeting House, just like your home can be the Meeting House of a local New Testament church. But you can't turn a family into a church, okay? You have to have a church organized. We're going to talk about the home church movement in another message, but which is different than a church meeting in a home,
right?
Which we'll talk about. Okay, but Zuckerberg here, he says they're leading brick-and-mortar churches. I agree, they are. They are.
I would too.
Yeah. Studies show there are 30 million drones in America today. They read their Bibles, listen to Elevation Church's Stephen Furtick podcast, and know every word to every Jesus culture song. They talk about Jesus a lot in coffee houses or at the happy hours. Yeah, while they're getting drunk. Isn't that wonderful? But you'll rarely find them in church. You mean you'll rarely find them assembled with the saints of God.
Or what they believe is a legitimate church, which that's a whole nother
show.
I mean, we're speaking generalities here.
Right, but let me just say this to you, okay? There's a difference in goats and sheep.
Right.
Now, I believe there are sheep all over the country. Right. Amen. That need to be in flocks that aren't, and they're not surviving because they're not in flocks. But if you can be a goat out there, call yourself a Christian, but you can be a goat and survive out in a flock because you choose to outside of a flock, you may not be a sheep.
Right.
You may be a goat.
Right.
That doesn't mean that everybody out there is. I said there's sheep out there.
And you have the nature to survive on your own.
Yeah, and you have you know how many times I've heard it?
I just did a
sermon on goats.
Amen.
Go back and listen to that. I just did it a week ago on the difference between a goat and a sheep.
We tried raising goats, physical.
Yeah, that was interesting,
animals,
wasn't it?
Yes. They're nothing like sheep.
No, and you know what? Sheep want to be in a flock. Yeah,
that's protection for them. And
now, brother, is there a way for a sheep to be in a virtual flock?
Well, no.
Not when the real wolf comes to eat them.
Right. There's no such thing as virtual wolves.
No, there's real wolves. There are wolves online.
Right, yeah.
But they're real wolves, too.
Right. Yeah, and they have power from the greatest wolf.
Right. As someone who has made the agonizing decision to leave a church, says this person, I loved before, I understand how these people feel, overlooked or ignored by Christian leaders. Which brings me to something that I want to read to you right now, okay? Because I find this fascinating, okay? And this was a brother in Christ put this on his Facebook page, and I concur with what he's saying. Mm-hmm. I agree with him. Being a pastor, I understand exactly what he's saying, because I see this. Oh, well, those church leaders, they're all bad, so, you know, I can't go there because they're all this way. Well, listen to what this brother said. He said, if you call yourself a Christian, yet do not submit to the authority of a local church based on the failings, inadequacies, shortcomings, and sins of its elders and pastors, please ask yourself this question. Am I consistently applying this standard to all areas of my life? For instance, is your employer managing their workforce in an ungodly manner, yet you remain because you need a paycheck? Do you demand your wife and children submit to your authority in the home, even though you sin? You live in a nation led by wicked, ungodly, unjust rulers. Have you renounced your citizenship, or do you continue to submit to the rule of these ungodly leaders? I ask rhetorically, knowing that in these instances and a myriad of others, the answer is yes. You do submit to authority that fails to meet God's standard all the time, but justify not submitting to the authority of a local church because they do not meet your standard, which seems to be perfection. Be consistent, he says. And he's right about that. Right. I happen to agree with him. Now, Amen. There are reasons to leave a church. There are. And we'll talk about that in another show as well.
Right.
But the point is that these same people are hypocritical.
Yep.
You know, I've seen all these people say, well, I'm not going to that church because it's 501c3. Listen, I stand against 501c3. I have an attorney in this church that helps churches organize outside of 501c3. Okay, but you know what? I do put my money where my mouth is, and I take my feet where I need to go to be right with God. All right, but at the same time, you know what I've seen? And maybe you can't leave yet, and I get it. You need to pray and ask God to send a man there to see a work started. You need to do something. You need to be always about your Father's business doing that. But you want to know what I've seen? I've heard these men say, I won't go to church because it's a 501c3, and they're sitting home watching pornography. They're sitting home living like hell, and then they're yelling at their wives about Christmas.
Just an excuse.
Yeah, it's just an excuse for them. They don't really care about the Lord's church. They don't really care about being in a local, visible New Testament church. They just want to have it their way, like Burger King.
Yep.
They're just fakes.
There you go. Yep.
They're not real. They want Burger King church.
That's right.
I've met men like that. I've met a lot of men like that. I know a guy that was a deacon for many years. He was a deacon for 20-some years at one of the biggest churches, actually the sending church I came from. This man, he sat at home all the way tucked away in the woods by himself, sat at home with his family because no church was good enough for him.
Right.
Because you know what? At the end of the day, some of these people, nobody's good enough
right.
but them.
That's it. Yep.
No one's good enough but them, and that's how they're going to be. Now, that may not be you, and God knows your heart. I don't. I'm not accusing you of that because I don't know you. I'm just telling you
right.
that's the way a lot of people are.
Oh, yeah.
They don't hold themselves to the same standard that they hold their pastor or anybody right. else to, their church to. They don't do that. Okay, so he says most congregational leaders continue with business as usual, hoping the missing members eventually come to their senses and return. The problem is the Dunns aren't coming back, and their numbers are only increasing. There are about 7 million almost Dunns behind them, and if the church doesn't figure out how to create community, they are seeking someone or something else, like Facebook will do it for them.
See, they run out of entertainment. These right. churches are running out of ways to keep people entertained. And yep. and this is, I think, he's obviously looking at the evangelical, in quotes, people. And nothing like a church like what we'd be a part of. But they're all about entertaining. They're all about keeping people. And so they're running out of ways to entertain. So now the next level is be comfortable at home.
Right. And here's the thing. Goats
it's
need
like
to be
watching
entertained.
Your football game. Don't go to the game anymore. It's better to watch it at home on a big screen TV
right.
with your popcorn and beverage.
Right. Goats need entertained.
Yeah. Yep.
You got to keep them busy.
Oh, yeah.
You got to entertain goats. You got to keep them active doing stuff.
Yep.
Sheep don't need to be entertained like that.
Nope.
But goats do. Think about that.
That's right.
Certainly, some of us do not look for community from Facebook. We value FaceTime with our friends, one-on-one real conversations that take time, don't involve devices or photos, but actually being with one another. In her novel, Open House, Elizabeth Bergs asks, why isn't there a community center for people who need a little something? if people would only tell the truth about the way they felt, it would be busy all it would be busy all the time. There could be folding chairs arranged in groups, people sitting there saying, I don't know, I just wanted to come here for a while. Now that has nothing to do with the church. Listen how that sounds. Okay? That's what the Duns are looking for. They want church that's not really church. They're seeking a place where they don't have to dress up, where they can ask questions, where people know who they truly are. You mean like Cheers?
Yeah.
Where everybody knows your name?
Right.
Yep. You sit at the bar and everybody knows your name?
Well, that's their church nowadays. They'll go to that local assembly. Where's the virtual bars?
Right.
Where are the virtual supper clubs? There is no such thing. Their friends and their life revolves around much of that, and much of the world does. But see, here they are. They want to take God and Christ, and they want to fit him to their lifestyle.
Right. They want to play. You know, by the way, we have no problem with people asking questions here. We have no problem with people fellowshipping here and having something to say here. In fact, it's hard to get them out the door.
Right, right.
They want a place to grapple with the hard stuff out loud with others. Well, half the hard stuff you're going through, you wouldn't be going through if you obeyed God.
Right. If you just submitted.
FaceTime, not necessarily Facebook. Depth of relationships, depth of study, depth of service. They don't want to bowl alone or stay in the shallows. Zuckerberg is right. We are turning to bars, bookstores, or Facebook to find it.
They don't want to be alone in their rebellion and their sin. They want to have somebody else with them.
Right.
They want to have a buddy.
Could this be the new Reformation? Oh, my goodness. Anglican Bishop Mark Dyer explained that every 400 years, the Christian church undergoes a major transition led by lay people. Our 400 years are up, and the lay people have spoken by exiting our congregation. Some time ago, the primary focus of many leaders was to take their church to the next level in their minds. To be truly successful, they needed bigger facilities, more activities and programs, and more cars in the parking lot.
There you go.
Everything needed to be slick and produced.
Professional.
Slick. I'm not good at being slick. I'm good at being blunt.
Not too suave.
Not too suave.
That's right.
Unfortunately, to reach more people, we took Christian community and turned it into a Christian country club. That's what you're just saying you wanted in the first place.
Yep.
In this modern age, where authenticity is one of the most valued character traits. Yeah, right. How could this guy even say that? This generation does not want authenticity in character traits. This generation wants fakeness. They want fake book.
Right.
They want to be fake.
Mm-hmm. No accountability. Not at all. Yep.
Our churches just aren't working anymore. We have lost track of being pro-Jesus. I don't think you know who Jesus is. It's time for a church-wide yard sale. Leaders must take the possessions, procedures, and attitudes that no longer work, box them up, and throw them out. Throw away the clutter that is holding us back, the unnecessary, the unjoyful, the underfunctioning, the no longer functioning at all. Toss, toss, toss. Get rid of all the extras and put our focus back on what matters most, Jesus and relationships. Jesus and relationships?
Yeah, yeah.
How about the glory of God?
Wow. And the holiness of God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark Zuckerberg recognizes something that so few Christian leaders have. There is an enormous void among believers and a desperate yearning for community. Will we step up and build communities that meet their needs, or will we let Facebook fill that void for us?
That was written a while ago.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing, okay? It does not matter what you do for these people. That was July 5th, 2017.
Yeah, that's true. It is this year.
So, yeah, not too long ago.
Right.
July 5th, 2017, okay? Now, these people, they don't know the purpose of the church itself. And I'll tell you what, if you believe that virtual church is church, I'm not saying what you have to do right now.
Right.
Maybe. Or this online church is church. It's not. There's no accountability there for you.
Right.
Look, I've met people that have joined different online churches. and they call themselves pastors online and everything else like that, and all those things. And I understand that they want to help people. I believe there's a lot of pastors out there that do want to help people. I don't think they're all in it for the money. Most of the men of God that I know, even pastors online and people like that that put their stuff online, none of them are rich.
No.
They're not living the high life. They're not trying to, okay? But
God's order isn't followed many times.
Right, and that's what leads to trouble, okay? So I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4 in your Bibles there, if you're listening. And the Bible says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it that but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth?" Verse number 11 says, or verse number 10 says, "He that descendeth is the same also that ascendeth up far above all the all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry," right? Mm-hmm. "For the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, that body of Christ is not a universal invisible body. It is a local New Testament church.
Like you talked about in one of your messages, too, how can you have the hand over here, the foot over here?
How can you work together? How could I be in agreement with everybody across the country when we're not even together? "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." You know, the purpose of the church is this, "that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance of them, the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Okay. You know, the Bible says we're to come together as the perfect man, fitly joined and compacted. I'm not fitly joined and compacted with everybody all over the country. Mm-hmm. I'm fitly joined and compacted into an assembly of believers that are all working together, not carried away with every wind of doctrine. An assembly where there are elders and there are youngers. Okay, there are elder men of God and women, and there are younger men that need to be trained, okay, need to be taught, need to be guided, need to be directed, okay? That's what the purpose of the church is, okay, for the work of the ministry, all right? To build you up in your most holy faith. That's what it's for.
And then you add in there, a local assembly is going to have follow the ordinances of the local church. Physical, local church is going to have ordinances that they follow and they obey.
Absolutely, and that's another thing, that the ordinances are given to the local church to be exercised in that. There's a body, there's discipline, there's order.
Right.
When you say, I've seen people get into trouble, I've seen people get into wickedness in churches and online.
Yep.
Doesn't matter either way. The point is, in person, you can discipline. The church can discipline. The church can come together, and they can do what God wants them to do. How could you practice 1 Corinthians chapter 5? Mm-hmm. How could you cast out that man out of that church and have no fellowship with him online?
Mm-hmm.
How can you do that? How can you mark and avoid him properly online?
It's impossible.
Yeah. It doesn't work that way. Guess what? There was no online in the Bible. It wasn't used back then for that purpose. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible's dealing with local, called-out assemblies, ecclesia, those assemblies, literal assemblies.
Right.
Okay? You can't fulfill that. You can't make sure somebody... How are you going to get somebody's doctrine straight as an arrow and make sure they're straight, not being carried away with every wind of doctrine? How do you do that? You're in a local church that's following the Word of God. Then you won't be carried away as easy with every wind of doctrine. If you are, there's going to be some elder men in that church and the pastor and others that come together and say, "Look, brother, you're wrong about this. Let me show you why you're wrong."
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what God does. That's how he works. All right, now we're going to look at this next article here on the virtual church. And Brother Andrew, I'll probably have you start this out here. The advantage of virtual church. Now, I'm going to try my best not to completely make fun of this nonsense and try to be sincere and serious. But it's hard for me to take this stuff serious when these guys actually ignore most of the scriptures to come up with this scenario of why there's an advantage to the virtual church.
Well, this article here, www.reformation21.org, is where we find this, written in October of 2008 by Paul Levy, The Advantage of Virtual Church. It goes on to say, it's fantastic, John Piper normally preaches, but also C.J. Mahaney, Mark Driscoll, Terry Virgo, and other greats. Okay, these are great people in his mind. For the last 2 years, I've been in charge of booking speakers, and I've done a pretty good job in getting nothing but the best. We have a variety of worship leaders, Keith and Kristen Getty, Stuart Townend, Michael W. Smith, and even Graham Kendrick have performed for us.
Stop it. Okay, first of all, Mark Driscoll is a raging pervert that got caught messing with the finances and cooking the books at the place that he was at. He was literally cooking the books. That's what he was doing.
Yep.
Okay, so he got caught. He's a raging pervert, and he was cooking the books. Okay, let's see. Who's the other guy? Michael W. Smith. Oh, my goodness. The new
CCM
evangelical
King.
CCM effeminate. Dude. Okay, that's all I got to say. Okay, go on.
We make sure we get them at their best, at the top of their game. No boring Sundays with just a piano. No out-of-tune neighbors. Neighbor putting you off. Just tip-top quality worship. Or church meets at whatever time I choose. It allows me to fit it in around my schedule. None of the guilt of feeling I should be there.
Okay, hang on. Let me stop you there for a second. Seriously.
Yep.
Have you ever noticed it's all about I. Worship is not about I. It's about him.
That's right.
It's for him to receive glory and honor in the church throughout all ages, world without end. This guy, he says, our church meets whatever time I choose. It allows me to fit in around my schedule. None of the guilt of feeling I should be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never feel guilty if I don't turn the computer on. Oh, my goodness.
He'll feel guilty if he's on the wrong web page during his church virtual church time.
Whoops.
Yep. It doesn't ask me to give of my time or my money. It gives me the best teaching and makes me feel like I'm learning.
Stop it. I wish that this was a Babylonian Bee article, but it really isn't.
No.
Okay, it's really a real article from Reformation21.org. Now, listen, it allows me to fit in around my schedule. None of the guilt. Nobody asks me for money. Why, I don't have to do anything I don't want to do. I never have to discomfort self. I must increase and Christ must decrease.
To my level.
Right, yep. And I get what I want. It's all about me. It's Burger King Christianity.
The height of it.
Yeah.
You don't get any more me, myself, and I than right here.
No, it's just great. I get whatever I want.
And it gives me the best teaching and makes me feel, here we go, feel like I'm learning. You might not learn, but it's sure going to make you feel like you're learning. Is this if you're laying on the couch watching?
Or eating a bag of chips?
Yep, eating a bag of chips, maybe.
I feel like I'm learning. I feel so wonderful. Yep. Like that one guy said, I feel it in my heart. I feel it in my soul. That's how I know. That's how I know.
Right. Yep.
Remember that guy? That's how I know. I feel it in my heart. I feel it, you know, and I don't have to give my time or money. Wasn't that great? Never mind denying yourself taking up your cross and following Christ. Well, of course not. It's about what I want, silly. Why did you think Christianity was anything about Christ?
And my church lets me live my life the way I want. Wouldn't that be like the perfect church?
Well, that, I mean, it lets me live my life the way that I want to. Well, this sounds like the...
Every church in America, by the way.
It does sound like that, but it also sounds like the statement of faith of the virtual church or the online church. This is like their statement of faith and practice.
Right.
This is our practice to let you do whatever you want. We call it our Burger King statement of faith. Have it your way or have it no way at all. We don't care.
Why even have church?
Why? That's right. Right. Let's go fishing.
Yeah, why not fish and call that worship? Because it's what you want to do. It's all about you anyway. It doesn't ask me to give up. Okay, I already read that. And the best thing of all, I can even have my fill of church for a whole week without leaving my bed or having to be bothered by anybody. Now, this is getting kind of personal if you ask me, but why even have God in your mind at all? Why even have church in your mind at all if it's just all about you?
To appease your conscience. That's what that's about.
Right.
I can appease my conscience and I can, look, nobody wants my money. Nobody wants my time.
No, nobody's going to get my money.
Yeah, nobody's going to get my
money. Nobody's going to shake me down.
Nobody's going to get my time. Nobody's going to get, I sit in my bed and I look at the computer screen. And I am in virtual church, and I am a virtual Christian.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a two-way street. You might say this is ridiculous. Do you say it's ridiculous? I sure do.
I do, yes. Yes.
Who would ever really believe this? But it's a lot closer to home to the Reformed Church than we might think.
Well, I'm glad I'm Baptist and I'm not Reformed. And I'm not a Reformed Baptist because I'm not extremely confused.
Exactly.
But go on.
Lane Murray's latest book on...
Ian Murray.
On Martin Lloyd-Jones makes a point about his view of preaching. This is a quote from his book. He believed that the gospel preached in a worshiping church and in a local setting has an advantage over other situations. Here, the preacher is not just the one man addressing a crowd. He is a part of a community of believers who are not onlookers. They are involved. They too are witnesses in whom the Holy Spirit is present, page 15 of that book. Another quote here, page 19. Sermons should be heard in the context of worship, not listened to casually as one might listen to anything else. So here he's defending, I think, a brick and mortar, as they would call it, church. We live in an unbelievably individualistic world. This is back to the author of this article. And this has not just crept into the church. It has run full steam in and is in danger of wiping us out. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here he's defending now the church, the brick and mortar church, and he's looking at this as a attack. Church is full of difficult people, people we don't naturally get on with each other. But that is the church for which Christ has died. We neglect these people in our peril. It is the community of God's people that God meets with. And then Murray continues in his book. Mm-hmm. When this is a reality, the incomer is confronted by something that has no counterpart in this world. Thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Something of eternity may be felt on such an occasion. Our coming together in public worship should be a foretaste of heaven. So that's his opinion, talking about a local church, which a physical church is what he's talking about.
Right. He's defending the physical church, but he's saying that this what's going on today is leading this direction. This is where it's going. And Ian Murray is saying, you know what, like you can't do this. and he's reading about Lloyd Jones. You just don't get that listening on your player, and you don't in the car listening to sermons because you can't sleep. We've adopted a celebrity culture in evangelicalism when conferences, or more accurately, conference organizers, often feel they are the true barometer of Christianity in our culture. If numbers are up at conferences, jubilation God is on the move. But if on the other hand numbers go down, people have lost their hunger for the gospel, a sad reflection on the church at this time. If 98% of these conferences were got rid of, would it make any difference? Admittedly, certain speakers would have a lot more time on their hands, but would the church suffer?
Notice what he says. It's about the numbers. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that isn't a reflection of what most people call success of a local church, yep, is numbers, numbers, numbers. It's not if your people are growing spiritually, if they're repenting of sin, if they're overcoming. It's not at that at all. It's how big, how mega church can you get?
Right. He goes on to say, all the time the local church is bleeding because people have lost their commitment to the nitty-gritty of church life. That's true.
Yep.
Some are frustrated that their ministers aren't half as good as the ones they hear online. Of course, the internet can be greatly used for the kingdom. Of course, God has used the web ministries, but there is a danger for us here. I recognize there is a danger that we swing to the other extreme of not recognizing gifted men and giants in the church. That's his
right.
Universal Invisible Church.
Right.
The speakers at many of these conferences are godly men doing a great work, but the danger remains. Local church can seem a dreary compared to the glamorous conferences. For us as ministers, we can long to be on the bigger stage and get frustrated with that work that God has called us to do in the local church. The Church of Christ is the apple of God's eye, the center of what he is doing. He cares passionately about our local church life. What goes on in our local church is infinitely more important than what goes on in any conference or any web ministry. Don't be dazzled by the internet preachers or Christian celebrities. Be amazed that you've been called to play your part in God's community, God's new community, the church. So this man is defending. He starts out by laying the future of where that church is going. And I'm not reformed, and right, I don't follow right. these guys that he talks about because I think they're all in error. But yep. what he's saying is true. He's saying that this is where it's headed. But you know, people don't want that personal interaction any longer that comes right. to the church. Listen, when you live in a day and age where you can just cut everybody off, mm-hmm. when you can just block people on Facebook, and you know what, it doesn't matter, you don't live your lives with these people every day, when you're not held to any standard because nobody knows who you are, when you can listen to a sermon online but then you can just go on and live like mm-hmm. the devil every day of your life, and you're probably not going to get caught ever.
That's right.
You're probably by anybody like around there anyway. You know, you're not going to get caught by other brothers and sisters that you're accountable to in the assembly. This is where it's going,
right.
this virtual church. And that's how people are. You say, I don't believe that. Well, it's true. That's how they are. People, so many people today are saying, you know what, I could just stay home in virtual church. And you're saying, well, we're far away from that. No, this man wrote this in 2008. And I will tell you that right now, I believe it was 2008,
yes, yep.
October of 2008, he wrote that, 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're living it now.
We're living it now. Right.
It's happening today. That's where we are, that this is the virtual church world. Now, let's look at, you have a article here. Let's see, where's that at?
The Defense.
Yeah, the defense of the
virtual church.
Yep.
And I forget what website I pulled that off of now, but
that's okay. We can read it right here. Okay. Well, let's look at it. Doug Estes, Defense of the Local Church. Oh, author of Sim Church, responds to critics online. To critics of online churches. Douglas Estes. A myth is growing in some circles of the blogosphere that online church is not good, not healthy, and not biblical. Why would it be
right.
healthy and biblical? If we read carefully the criticisms levied against internet campuses, they boil down to some very common and tired themes. Internet campuses and online churches are not true churches because they don't look like and feel like churches are expected to look like and feel like. Okay, let's stop there.
Yeah.
Mike, that's not my contention
Right.
First of all,
we don't go to church
or what they feel like.
Right.
That's ridiculous. No, it's what their essence are. A church is a called out assembly, an organization, a congregation.
Right.
It is an assembly, a literal, visible, tangible assembly.
Yep.
That's not an online church can't be.
Never. Never
no.
can be. You never live up to what the Bible teaches. It's impossible.
Nope. Arguments against virtual church follow the idea that if it doesn't look like church, feel like church, swim like church, or quack like church, it's not a church. This may be a useful test for ducks, but churches are far more complex animals. We recommend this building church leaders training tool.
Did some famous Baptist said all my chicks turned into ducks?
That's what George Whitfield said.
Yeah,
all
no,
my
right.
chicks have turned into ducks, yeah.
Man.
When all his people were being baptized
right.
in the Great Awakening.
Amen. Yep.
This myth is causing even open-minded people to have doubts about whether a church online can be real. Let's lay aside for a moment that nowhere in the Bible does it preclude online church in any way. Let's lay aside the fact that church history almost nowhere would lead someone to conclude that a virtual church is not valid. The lesson of church history is that new formats of church always go through a period where they are attacked as invalid. What?
Relativism.
That's like not like where? What are
right.
you talking about? There, a church has been a local assembly of called out believers. How
right.
could you say it's something else other than that?
Mm-hmm.
That's the Bible example. Let's lay aside the troubling truth of the testimonies of meaningful community that are coming out of online churches. Let's lay aside the problem that most all I've read of the blog spots criticizing virtual churches are based on cultural factors, pop psychology, materialistic misreadings of a few New Testament verses, or worse, citations of famous pastors who have doubts. Okay, let me stop there. I
mm-hmm.
didn't use any of those. I've just used what the Bible says.
Right.
Very plainly, there's no such thing as an online church. There's no such thing as a virtual church. That's
what,
just...
Right. What part of physical embodied belief of believers do you not get?
Yeah, like where do they get
Dude,
this from?
If you look at a photograph of people, does that make it, well, I'm watching church? No, it's being present in a local assembly.
Right. An even greater concern is the proliferation of a related myth, the myth of the virtual church. As a result, several of the churches who have launched virtual campuses are telling their pastors and people, don't use the word virtual because people think it means fake. Well, it does
Bingo.
Mean fake.
You win. You got the answer correct.
For the record, virtual doesn't mean fake. It means synthetic, which is fake. If you take synthetic vitamins, you are taking
fake.
Vitamins. They're
right.
not real.
Right, right. My.
Wow. But we need to be accurate in our representation. Virtual churches are not fake churches. They are real churches that use synthetic space as a meeting place or a synthetic medium as a means of building community. Sounds like an AI robot. No, we are not fake. We are real.
We have been programmed to be real.
We have been programmed to be real.
Wow.
The virtual part of the term, which identifies where they meet, has nothing to do with the question of their realness or validity. Really? The essence of the word means it's an assembly. That's an assembly. You can't be an assembly unless you what?
Unless you meet together.
Assemble.
Assemble.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now watch the sleight of hand foisted on an unsuspected audience. We hear and read the myth that the reason why virtual churches are not real is because they don't have real community. What is this word community? It's like a catchphrase for like the new age.
Communism. Commune.
Community. Yeah.
To commune means
it's
to gather together. Yeah.
All this time I thought that church and real biblical community had nothing to do with where a church meets. Well, it doesn't, but it has to meet. It has to meet to be real.
It does.
Meet. Can you have a virtual marriage?
That'd be pretty tricky.
My wife lives in Africa, but she's still my wife, but you don't fulfill your marriage responsibilities to her.
You don't take care of her.
You don't teach her. You don't guide her. You don't care for her. You don't sleep with her.
Yep.
then you're not married.
Exactly.
You're not married. You don't have a real, you have a virtual marriage, not a real marriage.
Yep. And notice the term real, virtual.
Yes.
Yep.
Wow. This is not hard. This is real easy. Does it really matter whether a church meets in a bar? Well, yeah, actually, it does actually. Can I help? Yes, it does matter. Yes. A pub in Portland, in a fancy stained glass cathedral in Cambridge, under a banana tree in a jungle in Arusha, or in synthetic space created on the internet? Well, actually, in all those other places, their people are meeting together. They're there.
You don't have a pile of iPads and computers. They're people.
They're gathering under the tree.
Right.
They're gathering in the pub.
Right.
They're gathering in the stained glass window. I hope not. But they're gathering there. You can't just. Did you see what you did? You just went like this. You went A B Z.
Yeah.
You don't get to. No. Or you went apples, oranges. You see that? apples, oranges. You just did that. You did that twice. Apples, oranges.
I think three-year-olds can figure that one out.
Which one of us is not the same? Right? Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Which one of these things is not the same? Remember that game?
Yep.
I don't know how that song goes. You remember how that goes?
No, I don't know that
You
one.
Know that. Andrew, stop lying. You know that song.
Was that Sesame Street?
One of these things is not the same?
Yeah, that was Sesame Street, wasn't
was it?
It?
I don't know. Heathen, I didn't watch that. No, I did. I did, actually. I did. One of these things is not the same. Okay, wow. Okay, let's move on here into Scaryville as we go deeper into Scaryville.
Oh.
Is the enlightened church in America really still stuck on buildings? Is the enlightened church in America? Which one would that be? The universal invisible one that never meets?
I guess.
To me, this is enough to doom the myth, but there is even something more problematic. People are led to believe that members of online churches all connect to their video game church as anonymous zombies in Tron-like world. I agree.
Bingo.
Now, listen.
Yep,
again,
you got it.
Let me reiterate for all those people that are out there. You're stuck at home. You can't go anywhere. I get it.
Right.
You're in a place where you can't move. I get it.
Right.
But you're not a member of that church. You're listening to that church's services online, but you are not part of that assembly. You are not accountable to that assembly. You are not edifying your other brothers and sisters in that assembly. You are not fitly joined and compacted together with that assembly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that is a local assembly. You may give to that church, you may try to help and be a blessing to that church, but you're not accountable to that church unless you have become a member, baptized into that assembly. You may be a long distance member. That's true.
That's right.
That's true. We've had those here, but they're accountable, right?
And I think too, a lot of people don't understand what does it mean to be a member of a church.
Right,
they think just showing up, okay, and I sign a decision card, and now I go to the new members meeting, and now I'm a member of the church. I come and go as I please. I do my duty for the week, go home, and then come back the next week, and so on. But a biblical church, there's accountability, and that's, as we know, the number one thing people run away from. They don't want to be anywhere near a church where they have to be held accountable.
That's right. Supposedly, these virtual fake Christians never really know each other. It's all a facade. Well, that's true.
Yeah, well,
I agree. It is all a facade. Excuse me. It is all a facade. And that this is the sum and total of a virtual church. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
The real truth that is every virtual church I've ever attended, you never attended one. You might have logged into one, friend, but you didn't attend one. One of these things is not the same.
Right.
Sorry.
Your login ID attended.
Yeah.
But you didn't. You never attended.
The real truth is that every virtual church I've ever attended has flesh and blood people in virtual, real community with other flesh and blood people whose primary meeting place is in synthetic place. Hello. You're part of the Borg.
You're part of the synthetic place. Is this like Star Trek or what is this?
Place.
Man.
We all meet in a virtual world in a synthetic place.
Wait until you
see. I don't know you. I don't know what you do in your personal life. I don't know if you have a good work ethic. I don't know if you don't beat your children. I don't know if you don't drink booze like a drunken sailor. No offense to sailors. I don't know if you do any of those things. I don't know. All I did was log in. That's all I did.
Right.
I don't know whether you're a big sex pervert that's into pornography that's watching it 5 hours a week or 5 hours a day or splitting screen and watching porn while you're watching the church. Right. I don't know anything like that. How do I know?
Right.
I don't know.
That's right. It's the best place to get cover for your supposed righteousness
sin.
For your sin. Yep.
I've ever met. Okay, here we go. Where are we at here? Let's see. Oh, here we go. Community with other flesh and blood. Okay. Note, I said primary because every virtual church I've encountered has worked very hard to put into place regular aspects from baptisms. Now, wait a minute.
Virtual baptism.
Wait a minute. Hold the phone. Stop right there. I wish I had that thing that Aaron has there. Yep. That we got to hook that thing up,
effects.
Man. I need a little sound effect right there. Now, listen to me. Wait a minute. You just said somebody got virtually baptized.
What's virtual water look like anyway?
Is it digital water? How does somebody get virtual baptized?
They got a baptism certificate, probably.
Please write to Pastor Cooley at PastorCooley@yahoo.com or PastorCooley@iCloud.com, and please explain to me how you have been virtually baptized. Because I think you're virtually nuts. All right?
No, not virtually.
Yeah, you are nuts.
Really,
sorry.
Really. Yeah, really nuts.
Look, they try really hard. Man. They virtually baptize people. Well, that's great. How's that work? From baptisms to small groups to mission trips. In order to help build real community across the board, that real community thing, when I hear real community like that, I seriously want to run towards that wall and stick my head through it. What does that even mean? It sounds like Barack Obama explained it to me something, or Mark Zuckerberg.
Right. Yep.
It sounds like a bunch of nonsense. Real community. Are you a part of the community? Okay, sorry. That's my creepy voice. Okay, ready? Let's see. Okay, where are we at here?
From baptisms to small groups.
Oh, I don't even know. I can't find it now. Oh, there we go. Yeah, we're up there. Okay. Okay, well, the Met Triangle. Okay, now. Okay, let's see where we are. Oh, small groups to mission trips in order to help build real community. Critics aside, no virtual church I've ever met is trying to be virtual only. Not that that would be wrong. But it would be like starting a church in a building and only being the church in that one building. Why would you do that?
Now, these are people that grew up probably playing video games their whole life in their basement.
I would think so.
Or they fall asleep with their iPad under their pillow. Or they eat and their food is on top of their iPad and they just eat and read it at the same time. I mean, I don't. How can you be so disconnected from reality here? I just don't get it.
I don't know either. It's kind of weird.
Very weird.
In fact, the average virtual church works harder at this than the average brick and mortar church. Nee, 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 boo, boo.
What kind of bills do they have to pay?
You hear that?
Yeah.
Nee, 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 boo, boo.
Yeah.
Our church is better than your church. Why is it better? Because it's virtual. It's not real. It's fake. What standard is it? What biblical standard does that virtual church have to live up to?
Right.
None. That's why we like it.
We can be lawless and enjoy it.
Wow.
And nobody's going to stop us. That's why the Antichrist, like you were talking about before, he's not going to have a tough time at all.
It'll be real easy.
It's going to be gravy for him.
Virtual churches may meet for services in the virtual world, but they are not the one-dimensional illusion that critics like to easily prop up so as to knock down for their friends to applaud. Well, actually, I'm not it's not a straw man. Mm-hmm. It's not real.
That's right.
It's only real when you assemble together.
That's right.
Or you're accountable to that church. Like again, like there's members that we have that are doing evangelistic work under the authority of this church and trying to start a church because they want.
Yeah, and then and if we have something of concern, they will answer
exactly
to the church.
Exactly. Yep. Okay. Let's see. And there, and here's the irony. Even as virtual churches seek to create community, in both virtual and physical space, so too do their critics use virtual space when it's convenient for them and their brick-and-mortar ministries. Just don't tell those folks the discussion created by their blogs are not real.
They might cry virtual tears.
I mean, this snowflake is like going to melt before he finishes this article. In this myth, critics single out the lack of physical contact. Well, let me ask you a question. That'd be like having a marriage without any physical contact. I don't mean the marriage bed. I'm talking about any physical contact. Like, you know, like being like anywhere remotely
sitting
in the same
next
world.
To each other. Yeah.
Yeah, where's your covenant? Wow. What covenant have you signed? Who are you accountable to?
Wow.
But isn't that why God invented mega churches? Actually, God didn't invent mega churches. Honestly, sorry. That's kind of a man-made thing.
Wow.
This is like very
did
academic.
He create the worship teams too?
Probably.
Okay.
In their mind. Their God did.
Yep.
But it isn't that why God invented mega churches so we could avoid physical contact?
Well, that is almost correct. I've been a member of a mega church before, and there's no way you could know everybody in that church.
I know, and that's not of God.
But at least you're there physically.
You know what happened when there was a mega church in Jerusalem?
God scattered them.
Persecution
came.
Persecution. Then what happened?
More churches were started.
Yes.
Local
He
churches.
Scattered them everywhere upon the persecution of Stephen, the Bible says. Mm-hmm. God's method is not mega church.
That's right.
When a church gets big like that, God will scatter it.
Man. Yep.
To go start more churches to fulfill the Great Commission. Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Anyway, that's a little too simple, though. That might be confusing to some people. So that people could go to church together but sit so far apart as to never touch or physically know each other? Well, first of all, I'm not going around touching everybody at church.
No, we don't have hugs and we don't everything during handshake time.
Yeah, I mean, we hug the brethren once in a while and things like that. I don't go.
Men.
Ben.
Right.
Yeah, I don't go. I don't go hugging.
We're not
women.
A touchy-touchy, feely-feely.
No, we're not one of those charismatic people that always have to put their hands on you. Here, let me just touch you.
Well, at least they'd know you were real, not virtual.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a virtual touch.
That's right.
Virtual fist bump.
Oh,
okay, of course I'm largely kidding. And come to think of it, this happens in my small brick-and-mortar church, too. Well, if you have a cold, dead church that doesn't love anybody, that's not God's fault.
Wow.
You don't change the design. You get it right.
That's right.
In fact, as technology improves more and more, virtual churches have physical aspects. You can see, hear, talk with other folks from your virtual
now,
church.
Let me ask you, are they going to put the goggles on next?
That's coming. That's coming. The VR goggles.
Wow.
But here's the most cool thing. Are you ready for the most cool thing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought this was cool enough all the way through this, but now I'm ready for the cool thing.
That's right.
What would that be?
Turning it up a notch now.
Kick it up a notch here. Let's see what the cool thing is. Here is the cool thing. I know someone who comes to my church every Sunday and is not physically present.
Is this an out-of-body experience?
I can touch him. I can't touch him. Can't hold him. Can't hug him. Can't greet him with a holy kiss. But thank goodness he's there and in community with us. We mustn't judge the realness of church's community with God or people based solely on select physical criteria. Oh, my goodness. Wow. The good news for the world today is that virtual churches, Baptist churches, banana tree churches, underground churches, what's a banana tree church? Lutheran churches, communal churches. What is a communal church?
I don't know.
I don't think I want to know.
No. Nope.
House churches, and yes, even tragically hip Pacific Northwest alternative pub churches are real churches. Oh, because
Wrong.
You say so?
Yeah,
Because he says so, they are.
Right.
Gotcha. You may not want to meet in synthetic space.
The final frontier.
These are the voyages of the synthetic church enterprise. To boldly never meet where any man has met before.
That is true.
That we are never together, seeking out new worlds and new civilizations, where in virtual land, and boldly never meeting one another.
But please click on the PayPal at the bottom of the screen.
Please click on the PayPal.
Slide your card, please.
Virtually pay. Look, you could virtually give your offering at...
Oh, man. That's too funny.
And yet, yes, listen, people donate to our church and things like that sometimes, too. I mean, you know, it happens. But, I mean, we don't care if they do either way. If the Lord leads them to do that, it's right. fine. But we're not taking up a virtual offering for virtual... People give to the ministry. It's what they do, you know.
Well, some of these websites that I looked at, you have to get an account and a login. For some of them, it's, I guess for them to track their attendance, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, I saw that before. Yeah, where they got it. So they know where they come from. The virtual attendance records?
Yeah.
Have you attended today? What if I logged in and I don't really listen? And I just log in and I just like...
Well, like for instance, this website, virtualchurch.com, is one of the links I have here. It says church wherever you are. Okay, so number one, they want to appeal to wherever you are. When was the last time you went to church, they ask? Do you have to work? Can't get to church? Don't feel like going? Need to hear the word more? And then you choose, you basically create your church service. You can click the order of service there, as you see on the right of the screen.
That's great.
You can select a prayer. You can select your own scripture, songs of worship. The welcome, and all these are videos that you can watch.
Is there a virtual welcome here? A virtual Christian welcome here?
Does everybody stand around in front of their cameras and
do you all shake hands with each other virtually online?
I don't
Yay!
Know.
And you can, find out what's in our coat closet? What is this all about? I got to check the coat closet out. What's up with that?
And then you can select your sermon.
Oh, man.
Then there's even you can join it. You can apply for membership.
You can apply. I almost said shut up. You can't apply for membership. Really? Can you really?
Well, it has.
Is there a button to apply for membership?
Well, it has. It talks about your. It talks about how you can be a member of their virtual church.
Where does it say that at?
I want to find. Actually, it turns into a video on this one.
Somebody play the Jeopardy music. Doom 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 doom.
No, I can't find it.
Can I go in the? I'm going in the sanctuary. Hang on.
All right. This is.
I went into the E. coli initiative. What's that? How to give people E. coli?
I have no
idea.
The
Augsburg Confession, the Heidelberg Confession.
Let me check.
The Luther's 95 Theses.
There's two of them. Maybe I got them mixed up.
Come on, I want to join. I'm in the music room right now. All songs expressly represented on this website are, to the best of our knowledge, songs in the public domain. Oh, man,
they're not pirated.
They'll even give us free lessons on guitar online. Jack's Christian Hymns for Harmonica. That is awesome. That's what I need. I'm going to choose an artist.
Oh, and then you could give your prayer requests online.
How
do you have the feeling of belonging in your cozy community when all you do is, I mean, even this website, it does not, I mean, for all,
I'm going to the children's room. Hang on.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're on the other one. Children's room.
This is the children's room.
Yeah, you can select your own junior, children, call it children's church.
I want to see. Oh, wow.
And you can entertain your children.
That's awesome. There's hangers for my coat. I mean, there's everything I need here. I mean, I don't know how to get my coat in there, but there's hangers for it. That's awesome.
Oh, okay. I see
what
which
else
one
is
on
yep. here. Doom, 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 doom.
It says each room has something to offer. So you click on this website and go into each room of the church. The sanctuary features sermons by guest ministers, communion, and prayer. The library has Bible quizzes, links to Bible search engines, reference materials, and bookstores. It says explore the church room by room.
This is great.
Yeah, I mean,
I can even go to the kitchen. If I can get a virtual.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yep. Food for the body and soul.
Where's a virtual sandwich at? That's what I want.
Did you read what's below the kitchen?
I'm hungry. What's below the kitchen?
The lavatory. The
lavatory and washroom. Okay, this is getting weird. Virtual restroom.
Oh boy, I didn't tell you.
In the sanctuary, tour of the Temple Mount. Well, I can go everywhere.
Yep. So anyway, they're allowing you to explore this virtual church. And there's even more that they, I can't find the website right now, but they had it where you're looking inside of these digital people inside this virtual church.
Really?
Where was that one at?
That's not at all weird.
No.
Prayers, praise, and promises there.
Yep, so they there is just incredible amount of...
This is great. I can go anywhere I want to. Contact us.
So once again, it's all about you, what makes you happy, what makes you feel good. And like many churches in today's society, church is about how you feel. It's all feeling. I remember when I first came to Old Paz, of course, I knew all. I heard your sermons before we came, and it was quite the very opposite. It was more or less how uncomfortable can I feel, and
yes.
Because God convicting the soul makes you uncomfortable.
Amen.
And things changed in my life because I was uncomfortable. And I desired that. The Holy Spirit of God in me was reviving my soul from
Amen.
From a apathetic Christian life. And God was just starting to get flush sin out of my life.
Amen.
And reveal sin in my life. And I'd come to church. I couldn't wait to come to church. And I was not offended to have my sins pointed out to me by the preaching of the Word of God. I desired that. And a lot of these folks that are in this virtual church world or watching church online that can get to a godly church, a biblical church, I believe, you know, I've never been in that position, so I do feel for those folks. But where in your soul is that burning in your soul to be a part of God's church, a biblical local church?
And that's just it. Let me just say this to you too, okay? You're never going to be perfected the way God wants you to be unless you are in a local assembly, okay? You're not going to be what God wants you to be. You're never tested. Your love is never tested. When you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, this love isn't going to be tested online when you could just shut the computer off and you don't have to talk to somebody who's a jerk.
Right.
There's plenty of them out there, believe me. But he talks about, you know, if you read that, here's the problem. Paul is talking to the local church in Ephesus when he reads from Ephesians chapter 1 and you go all the way through to 6. He is dealing with the local church and how they're to deal with one another. All the way through there, he's talking to them, talking about their place in Christ, where they are at, what they're to do, the purpose of the church in Ephesians 4, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. That's what he says here. Okay, he says, for the edifying, that we all may come to that perfect man, right?
That's right.
That's where God wants us to be. But here's the problem. You're not going to receive that online just listening to some sermons.
Right.
You need to be in a local New Testament church to fulfill that command and to be able to and to grow the way you should. Also, the gifts of the body in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in Romans chapter 12, those gifts are exercised in the body. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body, together having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. You saying that's a universal invisible body that doesn't come together, that doesn't assemble together? No, you know what? Mm-hmm. My love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is, and my gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 are exercised, right? Read all the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You don't do that in a universal body.
Who would they benefit in a universal body?
They don't benefit anybody.
And that's the God's mastery of his word, of the local church. Is there's completion in the local church. We We serve each other in the local church.
Right, and we need one another. And you know what? It says if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. See, we have to work together here.
Right.
If we're going to function as a body, hey, what would happen to you if you were walking down the road someday and your leg took off? Your right leg just took off out of nowhere. Right? And boom, I'm walking around. I'm hopping now. I was running a race, and my right leg took off on me. Or I fell asleep one night, and my right arm just took off and left. How's that going to affect my body? A lot.
A lot.
How about this? How about you run a race, and your little toe falls off?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be out of balance.
Right.
But you know what? If the little toe is all the way in Tennessee, or if it's in Texas, like that, or if it's that part that's not have any connectivity with me or anything else like that, it's not going to affect me as much.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I'm a member of that body, right? We just had Brother Jim up here and had a great time of fellowship with him and love, and God is doing a work there and everything, and we praise God for that. But you know what? He's already submitted himself to that body.
Man.
He doesn't have to physically be there all the time to be a part of that. But he has to be under that authority. And you know what the goal is? The goal is not forever to have them like that.
Right.
The goal is for a church to start there.
Right. Amen.
For us to gather those people together, for God to gather them together, for us to organize a church there. That's the goal. There's a goal in sight. There's a working towards that.
Amen.
Right? It's not because we know that they need that physical fellowship right there, and God is doing a work there. Amen?
Right.
And that's what we want. We know what they need. Because the Bible says that's what they need. But you know what? These gifts are exercised in a body. They are challenged. And then we see 1 Corinthians that love is tempered. But now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. We're to grow up in him in all things. It says, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. We're never going to grow up. We're going to be tossed to and fro. Compare that with Ephesians 4. You're never going to grow the way God wants you to without being in that local New Testament church.
And then also the aspect of the pillar and the ground of the truth.
Amen.
And how much heresy runs freely through the internet over Facebook, because it's generated from lawless people, or many lawless people that are not held accountable to a local assembly. And that's what I've seen over the experience that I've had in churches through my lifetime, going from physical churches that I was a part of to then understanding and learning what's this online church is going, the direction that's going. And it's a dangerous, slippery slope, because once again, if you can see it on a computer screen, people think, well, that's the gospel truth. They wouldn't lie to me. It was on YouTube.
I saw a video.
It's on Facebook, and it's a reputable site.
I've had people say something to me like to this effect. Well, they said, well, you know what? Have you seen the video? It's very convincing. I'm like, I was there. I don't need to watch the video.
It's just ridiculous.
I lived it.
Yep.
I lived it. Right. I don't need to see a video of it. Right. I lived it. I was there.
Right.
I know what happened.
Yep. Amen.
And I didn't have to make a video about what happened. I was there.
Right. Exactly.
And it was none of your virtual business.
That's right.
Right?
Right. Yeah. Yep. Go back to your virtual playground.
And you could take your virtual blocks.
And your virtual toys and go home. Yep. The danger is, I mean, we've worked with green screen before on video. We do a lot of video editing. And when you get into that, you can literally make anything you want on a computer with video, graphics, arts, design, with video technology, with camera angle. I mean, everything. You cannot believe anything you see hardly anymore. But that's the beauty that God set in his word, that you go to a church, a local assembly, where people really do care about you, where people really do have feelings, where you're going to love them, and you're going to love them through tough times, and you're going to be there for them.
Right. Well, here's the thing that I've always said. You know what? I've lost a lot of virtual friends.
Yes. Yep.
But I never lost any real friends.
Followers.
I thought I lost a lot of virtual followers at different times in the ministry.
That's right.
But I never lost any real friends. I mean, I have friends in Michigan. I have friends all over the country, all over the world, really. And I never lost any of them that knew me, flesh and blood knew me, and dealt with me, and spent time with me, and everything else like that. Why? Because they know me, and they're like, right. If somebody hears a rumor or a stupid video or anything like that, I never lost any real friends. Right. None of my real friends ever went away.
Right. Because they're here.
Right.
Right.
Amen. Man. And I know him every day.
Right.
And I've dealt with him every day. And you know what? You can be corrected in a local church. We've corrected one another. We've helped one another.
We repent to one another.
Right. We repent to one another. We get things right. As a church, we get right. You know what? I just want everybody to have the blessing of that.
Right.
And you know what? We can, if we all get back. Listen, let's use the internet for this one thing. And you think about this. To start physical, literal churches all over the world.
Amen.
Hey, I'm willing to travel to do it. I'm willing to do what God wants us to do that.
That's right.
But with visible local assemblies. This internet should be nothing more than a tool.
Right.
It is not the church.
Right.
It is a tool that God wants to use to start churches.
Amen.
Where you're at. Not here. You know, we don't have a desire doing this. I don't have a desire for everybody to move to Northfield.
And we're not saying we're the only church in
America.
No,
absolutely not. I'm just from the little piece of dirt that God gave us here.
Amen.
We're trying to obey him and be faithful. But you know what? We want to see churches started. We want to see that happen. We want to be able to see that out there where you live. I don't want you to have to move to Northfield, Minnesota.
Right.
I don't think everybody can move to Northfield, Minnesota, or move to Tennessee, or move to wherever there's other good churches at. Brother Marty Tate, other men like that that are around the country, and preachers that are out there that want to start churches. And you know what? I'd love to send young men out, but I'm still training them. They're not ready yet.
Right.
You know, I'd love to see that. I'd love to go start churches in different places. I'd love to do that. We're doing it in Texas. We want to do it in other places.
Amen.
Amen. We want to work together to see that happen. But you know what? This is a tool to do that with. This is not the end-all, be-all. Because I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be some satanic deception that's going to come.
Right.
And it's coming.
And
Satan is going to use that tool, a virtual church, to do it.
And if these sheep don't get in a flock, they're not going to be protected.
No.
They're not going to be protected. And many out there that are listening to this might be, sadly, in their heart, they know the truth. And you know, by God's grace, they should pray and ask God to give them that opportunity to get somewhere, or that God would send a church.
Be a part of the solution.
Amen.
Out there, you know, we're not telling you need us.
Right.
We're just saying be a part of the solution out there.
In the underlying thing that we were talking about earlier is you believe the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe His word is true. You believe that He died for your sins, and you repent and put your faith and trust in Christ.
Amen.
You believe that. You believe He can take care of your needs. You believe He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But then when it comes to a local church, where is your faith?
Exactly.
It is the most attacked doctrine, I believe, in our time.
And I'm going to tell you why some of you are, and we're going to do another show on this, and we're going to talk about excuses and valid reasons to leave a church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there are some just excuses that don't hold up biblically.
Yep.
But there are some biblical reasons as well. Okay, and that's something that we're going to talk about. But you know what? God knows your heart. If you're using those things as just an excuse because you really don't want to be under any authority, God knows that.
That's right.
But also, you know what? Your faith gets weaker when you're not with the brethren growing.
It's discouraging.
The Bible says iron sharpeneth iron.
Man.
And if you're out there, look, goats can go it alone. Wolves can be the lone wolf.
That's right.
Sheep don't do well alone.
That's right.
Yep. And without a shepherd.
Man.
And you say, but I have Christ, the great shepherd. Yes, and He's given you
a church.
A church a local church to go to and to be a part of. And, you know, it may not be perfect. It won't be perfect on this side. But you know what?
Amen.
You might be protected. And you know what? You can learn stuff from people online. You can learn from the internet and still go to the local New Testament church and not think that you're better somehow than other people because you've arrived at it. Examine your own heart. See what's in your own heart, what sins you're committing before you put that same comparison on the pastor and those people. Do you hold yourself to the same standard as you hold that church to? It's a good question to ask.
Amen.
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 All right. Well, I think that's good, brother.
Amen.
I think we kind of pounded that out a little bit, and it makes sense to me, and hopefully it does to them as we look at this virtual church as an anti-local church.
And then whoever's watching and listening to this, understand that from my testimony, and of course anyone in our church, it is a miracle of God that God still has biblical local churches. I mean, I wish I could testify everything that God's done in our church,
Amen.
In our midst. Amen. The spirit that's in our place, the unity is Amen. Just it's God sent.
Amen.
I've been to churches where there is no unity, mm-hmm. where there's infighting, and there's different levels of authorities and churches, and it's just everything's out of whack. And I used to be honest with you, I used to dread going to church, mm-hmm. in some churches I've been a part of. But we can't wait to go to church.
Amen.
It's a family reunion every Amen. Single Sunday, and like you said earlier, we don't want to leave, and we have church, and it lasts pretty much all day, and people don't mind. We love it,
Amen.
And we love to be together.
Let me just say this: we just celebrated a week ago or so. Was it 2 weeks ago? Maybe
2 weeks. No.
2 weeks ago, we just celebrated our 10th anniversary here at Old Paths Baptist Church, and through all the struggles and the trials and tribulations.
Amen.
You know what? The devil can't sink God's church
Amen.
Because it's his.
That's right.
And through all the things that we've been through as a local New Testament church, God has blessed his church. He said that his church, the gates of hell, would not That's prevail
right.
against it, and it hasn't.
Right.
And we thank God for that. Every devil and every wolf and everything else, that and goats that tried to destroy the flock, God continues to preserve his church,
Amen.
And we rejoice
Amen.
And thank God and give him glory for that. And
right.
we'll do a video. We're going to put a video out of our 10th anniversary, just a public video that we're going to put out sometime in the future about that. I think it's a good witness mm-hmm. and a good mm-hmm. testimony to the grace of God.
Amen.
So there'll be something. It won't be as extensive as what we'll have, but
right.
but we'll put something out there about it just to show
Amen.
People that we rejoice in what the Lord has done, and we give him all the glory and honor
Amen.
That is due to his name for that. So anyway, all right, Brother Bicey, I think that's
Amen.
It for this week here. For Brother Bicey, this is Pastor Jason Cooley, OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota.